here we are. This actually marks the end of Mark. Whoa! And we are going to celebrate. We have actually three cakes that have been made to mark this. And I think there's like a carrot cake and a chocolate cake and a raspberry cake, something like that. You will not be disappointed. Marie has made some cakes. But here's the deal, is that if you are joining us today for the first time, I do apologize because it will probably feel odd. It makes me think back to, as I thought about this, like what song would I put to this? I would say to you as a church, the song that I would say is that Don't Stop Believing by Journey. You didn't stop believing that I would actually finish this book. 948 days it has taken, 2 years and 7 months. I've never taken that long to go through a book in my entire life to preach, but I have. We have made many stops along the way. It has not been, if you're joining, it has not been 948 days of just Mark. We have done some different stops along the way, but we have come to the end. And it's an odd ending, is it not? Like, it doesn't feel right, and it shouldn't feel right, because there is something happening here. I've entitled this Two Extra Innings, because there's actually some other verses that Vince didn't read, and I'm going to share with you. They're just, it actually could be one or maybe two verses, and it goes like this. They gave a brief account to the people around Peter of what they had been told. And after this, Jesus himself sent out from the east to the west, through their work, the sacred and imperishable proclamation of everlasting life or eternal salvation. That's also in there. That also can be found in the manuscripts. So something is happening here. But before I start there, let me start with a story. Back to my days when I was in kindergarten. You can imagine what I may look like. Imagine hard, because I had lots of hair. And I was full of life. And I had a great kindergarten teacher. I can't remember her name. Any kindergarten teachers out here? Anybody done that? Anybody know what? Oh, yes. Oh, blessings to you. Way to go. My kindergarten teacher, she decided she was going to do something kind of wild and crazy. She wanted us all to tell stories. And in order to accomplish this, of course, we could not write. We could, probably some could write their names. I couldn't. I guarantee you I couldn't. And so she would have us come up, and for 5 or 10 minutes, we would tell our story, and she would write it down. Just amazing. And so this took a bit of time. We would tell that, and then the next person would come up. I don't know what we were doing with busy work while we were doing this, but it worked. And so over several different weeks, we would tell our story. And I remember that I come up. This is at the very end. And I start to tell the ending of my story. And my teacher stops me, and she says, Scott, your character is dead. That character is dead. You killed that character. And I looked at her, apparently, and I said to her, shut up and keep writing. I was a very mild-mannered kid. She thought this was fantastic. She thought it was very cute. So she tells my parents on the open house. And she tells him this story, and she thinks it's very cute. My dad doesn't think this is cute at all. My dad at the time, he smoked, and we were going out for a smoke, him and I. And he told me that I was going to go and tell my teacher that I was not respectful, and I was apologized. And so I thus walked in and did that very thing. Here's the point that I'm trying to make in this story, is that I had lost my ending, and I didn't know my way, and I was making it up. And in some ways, the ending of Mark was lost. Some would say that where we ended the last time I preached was the ending of Mark, and that's where Mark ends it. They were afraid. Many people believe that something happened to this scroll that Mark wrote because this book would be passed around, and somewhere in there, the last part of Mark was destroyed. Maybe a page got ripped out. My son said this one day to us. He says, "My memory is like a book, only sometimes a page gets ripped out." And so something maybe happened there where it got destroyed. And so those that were followers of Jesus, what they presume is they just started to add to it to try to complete it because it didn't seem complete. And so if it does feel like it's incomplete, well, it is. And in there for us, I think there's still something for us to learn. It tells us a little bit about what was happening in the church. If it is true that this was written by other people other than Mark, we get a sense that after the first or second century, this is what's happening in the church. This is what's going on. This is what they are believing, which I find in many ways somewhat encouraging, but also challenging. So that's what we're going to look at today. And so the first part that I want to look at is this unfinished ending that is there. And as we look at it, we probably, for all of us, or maybe not all, but most people, we like things to be tidied up, things to come to an end, things to feel like they are complete. But in it, there's sometimes this feeling of unresolved. And we want to make things neat and tidy. And I think even in our own faith, even in our own walk with God, it can feel that way. We want it to be nice and tidy. We want it to feel complete. And so we sometimes create this sense of our walk with God or our Christianity that is settled, that is explained, and is manageable. We want to be able to say, this is who God is, and this is how we can walk with him, and we will feel very good and comfortable with it. Here's the thing that I've experienced in my 60 years upon this earth, is that there are many times that the God that I expect to arrive, he isn't the God that arrives. The things that I think are going to be are not what they turn out to be. And so if I try to manage God to meet my expectations or to manage him, to put him into a space where I will feel comfortable, I end up taking, I think, and making God weak. How can he, we sing a song, I think it's Chris Tomlin, right? He's uncontainable. How do you contain an internal being? And I love theology, but sometimes what theology can do is put God in such a box that we explain away anything that is extraordinary in our lives. We need to know what we stand on. We need to know what we believe. But God has to be greater than what I can comprehend. So what I just want us to think about that the gospel that we read is this, and this is where I also want to go. The gospel was never meant to be something you finished. It was something you entered. So even reading this where it kind of ends abruptly or it ends oddly, we can take that and look at it and say that the gospel was never meant for it to be something that's finished. It is something that you enter into. When you and I receive Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord, we enter into the gospel. And we enter into something that is beautiful and mind-blowing. I did love going to the graduation and listening to the stories of these young people and hearing what God is doing. He hasn't stopped. He has not stopped. And so sometimes there is this quiet danger that you and I can walk in, that when we walk with Jesus year after year, and we've heard the stories, and we know the rhythm, and we know the language, that over time we have this faith that can feel complete. Now, Jesus did complete the work that he was sent to do. And we're told that in Hebrews that he sat down at the right hand of God. So he completed his work and he sat down and he said, I'm done. I'm finished. I've completed it. I like to do that once in a while. Sit down after you work really hard. I'll go home today and I will probably sit down. Maybe I might even lay down. I didn't get very much sleep last night. I might even lay down for a nap when I get done. I've finished my message. And so his work is complete, but the work continues. That complete work only starts what he's doing in us. So let us not be lulled to sleep that his work is finished. It isn't about you getting to heaven. It's about heaven getting into you. That's the work that he's doing. Yes, we will be with him for eternity. And so you hear me say this again and again. It's about heaven. It's about Christ getting into us. That's what is important. And so we want a finished story, and Jesus gives us a living one. That's what we see here. It's a living story. It continues on and on. And thank goodness it does. Thank goodness for you here that the story of the gospel continued on from this time here. Amen? Yeah. That is so good. And that you and I get to take that and deposit it into other people and to see it continue on. Here's the part that I am excited about, and I'll come back to it. Whether it was our Cape and Ray students or our Kaleo students, you see and you hear and you listen, or even our students here, you see what God is doing, and it is going forth. It is not complete. They are taking this message, and I am so excited for this next generation to lead the church. You guys are incredible people. You really are. Men and women that God has entrusted the gospel with, and you are hungry. And I'm excited about that. Okay, let me move on, because I have to. We also read in here this part of unbelief. You read that a few times, that there is, let me get to my right page here. Here we are. So we see that that Mary goes and she tells what has taken place, and it says that they did not believe, and they did not believe either. And so there is this struggle to believe. And I wanna first say this. I know Dwight's going to talk about unbelief next week, so I don't want to say too much. But I think when we hear somebody doubting, or if we doubt, we can feel like, oh my goodness, I'm not a very good Christian because I doubt. I doubted. And I want to give us permission to doubt. Because in my doubting, I have discovered some beautiful things about God. In this case here, Jesus did something that had never been done before. Do we realize that? I mean, we read this, we just got done with Easter, and we read the story, and we've read this story of Jesus coming back to life, and we read it again and again and again, and it's just in our heads that that is what happened. But think, you're the first disciples, and Jesus raises from the dead. What would you think? What would you do? I think I would be right there. I don't know. No, this didn't happen. It didn't happen. It can't happen. It's never happened before. And so when it says here that they had this unbelief, I'm going, yeah, yes, that is true. And what does Jesus do? He shows up. And he continues to show up. If I'm willing to show up with my unbelief. So Mary Magdalene, she tells them that Jesus is alive, and they don't believe her. Others report of seeing him. They don't believe him. They don't believe. And so Jesus does come in this account here, and it says that he rebukes them. Why don't you believe? I've told you this. So unbelief can create a hardened heart. There's no doubt about it. But unbelief or doubt can create a curiosity that can draw us deeper into wanting to know more about God. Because if I start with the very basis that what is in here is true, what I've been told about God is true, and I do believe that, there's so much evidence that the Bible is true, that then if I don't understand something, it's a means of being able to discover it, to look at it, to find the answer, to actually wait patiently for it to be revealed. And the disciples did that. They waited patiently for Jesus to be revealed. And then you think about Peter, and you think about his doubt, you think about his denial, and then what does he do? He stands in front of a horde of people, and he tells them about Jesus. Man, that's powerful. And this is a man who doubted, this is a man who denied, and when he encountered the incredible Jesus Christ, what does he do? He stands up and he proclaims in the very place that Jesus was crucified, he proclaims the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's power. Amen. But he had to walk that road to get there. And he came out a man of God who was powerful for the gospel of Jesus Christ. He discovered Jesus in a greater way. So there are people who are skeptics. And I believe that God is speaking to them and touching them and reaching out to them. And he is doing that for us today. I've lost my notes. Yeah. No, they're here. I just don't know where I really am in my message. Here's an aspect of familiarity that I also want to bring. That when we live with familiarity, sometimes also can create this part where we're not anticipating or we're not seeking the Lord in a fresh way. And we can show up kind of believing God in this predictable way. And so when that happens, I think there is this shift that takes place from expectancy to explanation, or from wonder to routine, or from participation to observation. So if I'm living this Christian life and it's just I get into this routine, what can happen is a shift where I'm shifting from expectancy to where I'm explaining, or from wonder to routine. I want to be in awe of God. Anybody see the sunrise today? A few of you? Yeah. It was gorgeous. And as it started to come up, and you know, I get to see it often, I just say, Lord, I don't want to take something that is a wonder and make it a routine. And so I just sat there. And I just looked at this sunrise and watched the colors change and just worship God. I don't want to be someone who just observes what God is doing. I want to be a participant. I don't want to just hear somebody else's story. I want to live the story that God has for me. I want to be part of that story. And so if I'm just living this life in this routine and I live in this place of just unbelief and I'm not choosing to dive in to understand what God is all about and what he's doing, and maybe I don't understand, but he will give me the answer. If I'm not exploring, then I come to a place where all it is that I'm in a routine, I'm just observing, and I'm explaining. And that's not where God wants us to be. It is not that we stop believing in Jesus. It is that we quietly stop believing he still moves. And we're going to come to a part here where it talks about what happened in the first century and the things that were going on in there, where they were speaking in tongues and they were healing and they were handling snakes. Okay, we'll talk a little bit about that. But it's not that I stop believing. It's just simply that I quietly stop believing that he's still moving. And he is. And he is still moving today. The third thing here is the call. And the call here, Jesus says in verse 15, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, and whoever does not believe will be condemned. And what I take from this is that the call that we read in Matthew is very clear. They're going to all the world and preach the gospel, baptizing people in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. That was given in Matthew. We know Jesus said that. And if it is true that this is written one or two centuries later, what is the church believing? The church is believing that there's still a call. The church is believing that Jesus is still calling them to take the gospel out. It's moving outward mission is what is happening here. And I love that, that this is the message of the church. It wasn't lost one or two centuries later, and it's not lost on us today. He's still calling us to take the gospel out. And we can follow Jesus for many years, and we can agree with what he has for us. We can affirm the gospel. We can believe it is important. We can hope others will do it. But here's the thing, is that we can make this optional, but it's not optional. When we make the gospel something that is optional, salvation becomes something personal. There's private spirituality. There's a weekly rhythm that all takes place, but there's no life in it. There's no life in it. The gospel was never meant to be held to your own self. The gospel is always meant to be shared with someone else, to be given to someone else. The gospel is not simply that Jesus died and saved you from your sins. It's that he saved you today and tomorrow and the next day, that there is life today in Jesus. Today, that's the gospel, every day. And if I just take it that I'm saved and I'm going to heaven, it becomes personal, it becomes private, and it just becomes my weekly rhythm. But we were never called. It was always a call to go out with the gospel. I have a friend who is going through a really, really tough patch right now. Him and his wife are not doing well at all. I reached out to him today. I said, I want to be able to share your story. Can I share your story? He says, by all means, share my story. And I would tell you more, but I'm not going to because there's a second half to this. But I want to tell you this. This man tells me, he says, I have been broken. I am crushed. And he said, I want what I cannot have. I want my marriage restored. But it's not happening. And him and I have walked, and we talk often, we pray often, we share scriptures often with each other. And he says to me, until I came to a place where I was just really, really willing to surrender it, just to lay it before God and give it up. He said, I wasn't living the call that God had on me. He says, I've laid this down. And he says, I hope that one day I can pick it up. I hope one day my marriage will be restored. But he says, God has used me in tremendous ways. He was at some place, and he works for a big company, and he was at this place, and he saw this guy, and he thought, I think I know that guy. And the Holy Spirit said, talk to him. And so at this point in time, because of what his journey, he goes, okay, I'll go talk to him. So he walks up to him and he says, hey, I think I know you. He says, do you work for this company? And he goes, yeah. He says, yeah, I work for this company too. And he says, yeah, I thought I recognized you. And he says, I don't know who you are. But yeah, we work for the same company because there's thousands of employees. And so he says to him, he just asks the guy, how are you doing? And he says, terrible, actually. He says, I haven't been working for the last 7 months. He says, my wife has left me. And so this guy gets to talk to him about his journey and his story. This guy is not a believer. He's not a believer at all. But he says to him, can I continue to talk to you? You have something that I don't have. And I need it. So even in the midst of what's happening here, God is using him here because the call is not optional. The call is present today. And I am so encouraged with that. The resurrection was never meant to create a consumer. It was created, it was given to be participants, the resurrection life. When the gospel is not optional, it is a call of courage. So when was the last time your faith required courage? Not comfort, not routine, but courage. When was the last time you had to trust Jesus in a way that brought you uncertainty, in a way that stretched you, in a way that made you depend on him? That is what is happening to my friend right now. And God is using him. Because it is impossible to be faithful for many years, it is possible to be faithful for many years and yet not have the need to trust God. I will say this until probably I die. We have this little saying in church that says that God will never give you any more than you can handle. I want to tell you something, church. That is a lie. Okay? The reason why I say it is a lie is because every day is more than you and I can handle without him. Every day is more than you and I can handle without him. And so I don't want to become lazy. I don't want to become lackadaisical in my walk with Jesus. I want to need him every day. All right, let's just quickly look at verses 17 to 18, because in here we get demons that are being driven out, we get new tongues, we got picking up of snakes, we got drinking of poison, and we got laying hands of the sick. That is kind of crazy times, is it not? And we do have, and you can if you want to, you can find churches that actually handle snakes. Yes. The crazy thing is I don't see them drinking poison, though. But they'll handle snakes, and they'll tell you, well, if I get bitten, then I die, and then, you know, God didn't heal me, then that's just the way it is. All right. I'm not going to dive too much into this. What I will say is this, is that when we go through, especially in the book of Acts, and we read, the things that we do see is that demons are being driven out. People are speaking in tongues, and the sick are being healed. We see that in Scripture, and we can count on that. As far as picking up snakes and drinking poison, I wouldn't base my theology on this one verse. Do you know where I'm going? So let me just say that, again, I wouldn't throw this last part out, but but I also wouldn't be basing my theology on everything that is here. We learn, and we're learning about the church and what's happening in the church a couple centuries after Jesus has been resurrected. Okay, so my last point here, the Jesus who still works, the Jesus who still works. And so this passage ends in this way. It says that they went out and announced the message everywhere, and the Lord worked with them. Do you get that? They went out and the Lord worked with them. So they didn't work for the Lord. The Lord worked with them. They recognized, the early church recognized that wherever they went, Jesus was going with them. That is a great thing. That is a positive thing. That is something I want to step into. I want to know that when I walk out these doors, that I didn't leave Jesus here, that Jesus is going with me, and I am going with him. So it's that part of saying that, God, I can't, you can, and I want to partner with what you are doing. He's inviting me to be part of his day. He woke you up today to say, come be part of my day. Isn't that wonderful? And if he did that, he didn't say, go be part of my day and go do it and then check in with me. He says, come be part of the day that I've created, and I am with you. Lo, I am with you always until the end of the age, he tells us. And that part in here that the Lord is working with them. Do you believe that, church? Do you?
Yes.
What is he going to do with you today? What is he going to do when you walk out these doors today?
Feed you cake.
He is the bread of life, I will tell you that. He is better than cake. Jesus is not absent. He is not distant. He is not taking a step back. He did not resign from his work. He is present. He is active. Today, right now, this very moment, and when you walk out these doors. What's encouraging is we get to bring it all together. Your Monday to Saturday time with God, you get to bring it here. That's what should make praise and worship so great, is you're taking your Monday to Saturday and you're bringing it here. We're putting it into a big pot and it's coming out. And sometimes what you put in the pot maybe doesn't taste as well as somebody else's. But that's the beauty of it, because when it comes out, it speaks the name of Jesus. It speaks the name of Jesus. So over time, something can happen and it can shift. From joining Jesus to managing him. We can maintain our faith, we can organize our relationships, and we can preserve our time. All in this part of going, well, this is what Jesus did. But he is still doing, right now, today, he is still doing. We can no longer expect Jesus to show up. You know, look back on that list. I'm going to Africa, and I do. This is what I pray. I say, Lord, would you give me ability to speak in their language? Would you give me a tongue, their tongue, to speak in their language? Would you do that? If not, there's an interpreter there that will interpret for me, but I do pray that. We have prayed over the sick, and they have been healed. They have been healed. Do we expect that? Not that I expect, God, you're going to do this for me, but do I expect that he's still living and active and doing something today? Or is it that I'm just maintaining my faith, organizing my relationship, and preserving my time until he returns? So, the ending, as I bring this to a close, I don't want to give us this heavy heart. I'm not trying to pressure anyone. I don't want anyone to feel guilty here. I just want you to know there's an invitation to step deeper, to walk deeper, because the Gospel of Mark doesn't end with everything tidied up. It's an open door. The tomb is empty, Jesus is alive, and the story is still moving on. And so here is what I think we could just ask ourselves these honest questions. Where has my faith become familiar? Or where have I stopped expecting Jesus to move? I had a son who's not walking with Jesus. And I can tell you there are days that I stop expecting Jesus to move. And then one of you tells me a story about someone who'd walked away from Jesus for a while and then they came back. And I go, ha ha, he's still moving. That's why stories are good. That's why testimonies are good. Where have I quietly just stepped back? Disappointed with the church, disappointed with people in the church, disappointed with God. Where have I just stepped back from the life, the kind of life that requires me to trust him? So the invitation is this. The invitation is to step into expectancy. Just what is one area in your life that you could just step into expecting God? Just where? Anticipation. God, you're going to do something. Or step into courage. Step into courage. That question you would ask someone. How are you doing? I'm feeling anxious. Oh, why? Can I pray for you? Whether it's a stranger, whether it's a coworker, where can I take a step of courage? Where can I take a step of participation? Is there anything that God is saying for you to step into, to do, to be part of? Why are you stepped back? Step into it. Watch me work. The church, the early church, went out and did what God called them to do, and Jesus was with them. So the invitation is simple. It's where we started. Jesus says, come follow me. And you know what he's doing today? He's still saying, come follow me. So church, where can you follow him today? And let's be excited about where he takes us. Lord Jesus, thank you. To learn, to know, to receive, to discover who you are. Father, for those who have walked with you for many years, maybe today there's just a bit of an inspiration happening in their life to be reignited in the anticipation that you are up to something, that you are doing something, you're inviting them to be part of it. Lord, for others that they would be inspired to consider that, God, you would use them. Even as you're using my friend, his life is not perfectly put together, but by walking in surrendered life to you, you're using even his story of brokenness to bring hope to others. Father, help us to hear you say, come follow me this very day. And to be excited about what that might do and mean for us. In Jesus' name, amen.